Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
A guy you may not know, Brandon Bishop, joins the podcast today, and this one took a turn that was unexpected in a very good way. This one had Drake in tears in the middle of the podcast, a story of a scout team guy who bet on himself and found out who he was through the journey of Iowa football. Can't wait for you guys to listen to this one. Let's sit back, relax, and have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans. Episode 187 of the podcast. Back with another legendary human being for a guest. A guy that you guys may not have gotten the opportunity to meet as much as you should have in his time at Iowa football. But definitely a guy that we got to know well. One of my favorite dudes ever to pick on in a friendly manner. And somebody with some of the best jokes on the squad. So without any further ado, welcome Coach Bish to the podcast.
What's up, dudes? No longer a coach, though. So
you're retired.
Coach Bish to me. Retired from that because, quite frankly, I kind of wanted a personal life. And second of all, I was with a program that we lost 79-0. And oh, no. Later that season, 82-7. So I just figured, you know, I think it's time for me to retire from this and give it up. So,
well, hey, man, since you were at one time a coach, you'll always be a coach to me.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Now, Sugar Grove, Illinois, correct?
Yep.
Sugar Grove. If I'm not mistaken, that's the same hometown as the one and only PJ Fleck.
It is, but more importantly, it is home of Don Beebe.
Who's that?
Don Beebe, 6-time Super Bowl.
You're joking. You remember when Don Beebe chased down Cowboys?
Yeah, Leon Lett. They'll probably show that play today because they show it every Super Bowl. It's like the most famous play in Super Bowl history.
All right. Well, I'm an idiot, I guess. For those listening, we have Brandon Bishop here. And as Drake mentioned in the intro, many of you probably don't know who Brandon is, unfortunately, because the guys that do know him, I think it's a true treat. Brandon, why does everybody like you? Why did everybody like you in the locker room? What is it about you?
Well, because I don't think there was a single enemy. You might not even had an enemy in the DB room, to be honest.
Well, that's news to me that everyone likes me, I guess. I don't know. I like to be a positive person and kind of fuck around a lot. And I think at times maybe I was a calming presence, and at other times I was probably someone that could, you know, get under people's skin without them caring because I was a little twerp that they couldn't do anything to. because they knew that they could beat the shit out of me. So it was like,
that's incredible. Brandon came in 2014. He is 1 year younger than the podcast hosts.
And so you guys actually hosted me on my official, if you remember that. Kevin was my host, and I hung out with you, Bo, Drake, and Kevin, obviously.
I have CTE and didn't remember that, actually, but I'm glad that happened.
I actually don't remember that too well. I can't imagine that we showed you too great of a time. What did we do?
Well, at the time, when I was in high school, I didn't drink because I was so against it for some reason. And then I got into college and I was like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
That same exact thing happened to one of my college roommates.
Speaking of, you mentioned that you you had a little last night in prep for the Super Bowl.
Well, me and my buddy, Alex Kreenitz, you guys should give him a follow on the socials. He's opening up his own business and everything. Brilliant Eats. But we just kind of wanted to kick back and just have a good time last night. And whenever we get together, we end up having like 15 too many and pretty much emptied the fridge last night. So that's what happened.
And in a Baker Mayfield jersey, no less, today as he joins the podcast, if you're watching on YouTube, a true walk-on. Baker's like king of the walk-ons, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Is he somebody that you look up to?
I would say, yeah. I mean, it's weird.
In college, he was your hero. Don't lie.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's weird to say that, like, he's a hero because he's the same age as me, but he epitomizes everything that I thought I was.
Okay. That's a really good way to put it.
We love self-deprecating jokes on this podcast. We do them a lot. So that was a good one that fits right in.
Yeah. I mean, he was, you know, he actually made something of himself, and I, you know, that was always my dream.
Right. Ours too. And now we're just here on a podcast. So if you would, Brandon, I'd love for you to Cliff Notes backstory, your high school into how you got to Iowa City and became a Hawkeye.
Okay. So I'm from Sugar Grove, Illinois, as you alluded to. I don't like to acknowledge that it's the home of PJ Fleck, not a fan. I won't get into that, but you know, I think he's a rotten human being.
Do you remember when the strength coaches tried to make me stop saying elite just because PJ Fleck all of a sudden started saying it after we'd been saying it in the complex for however fucking long?
Yeah, and
I mean, fuck that guy to the moon for that, for real. Like,
yeah,
that pissed me off. PJ Fleck, stop using my word because they started getting it twisted. Fuck PJ Fleck.
Yeah, he you know, I don't know. People here still kind of think that he's the man, but you know, whatever. It is what it is. I remember, just a side note, I guess, he had that on the Big Ten. He had that, like the life of PJ Fleck or whatever.
Yeah, yep.
And I remember, it came on the TV at the facility and Brian was like, "Hey, Bish, it's your fucking hero. Look, it's your fucking hero." And I was like, I just put my head down and I was like, I fucking hate that guy.
That's so Brian though.
Yeah. He's the man though. Brian, that is.
What was your first impression of him?
I was a little bit intimidated because when I was on my recruiting visit, he was the O-line coach and he came up to me and he's like, you know, I don't know why, but my dad likes you. You're a little shit, but my dad likes you. So I think you're going to be a good fit in this program, you know? And he goes, that's what I'm going to call you. Probably it's a little shit for the rest of your career, but I like you because my dad likes you. And then after that, I was like, fuck yeah. That's awesome.
Cool. Right. I'm in.
At least he told you that the head coach liked you, because I don't think I found out that the head coach liked me till after I broke my leg.
Yeah.
So you got to find out on your recruiting visit.
Yeah. That was pretty sweet. But I mean, the receivers coach at the time, I don't think he liked me nor wanted me in the program because I think he thought I was a waste of a roster spot. But
old Bobby Kennedy.
What happened to that receivers coach at the end of the day?
Well, you know, I won't get into that because I think he's a good coach, but he just did not like me, which is fine. I remember we were doing routes on air one time, and I dropped a ball. And he goes, because he called me Leno, because my boy Andrew Stone one day in the receivers meeting said that my haircut made me look like Jay Leno, which I hate him for that, but I love the guy still.
We got to get Stiz on the podcast.
Absolutely. But shout out Andrew Stone. So he called me Leno for the rest of the time there, and we're doing routes on air, and I think I somehow – CJ was throwing me a fade ball, which, you know, CJ should have never thrown me a fade ball because I wasn't fast enough and I wasn't good enough to catch one from him. And I dropped it, and he goes, Leno, what the fuck? He goes, we got Loras College here looking for fucking receivers. And I was like, at that moment, I was like, oh, God damn it. I don't think I should be here anymore.
I'm a walkout, coach. I'm good.
Yeah, and after that, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I don't know if this football thing's for me.
That brings up a really good conversation, because you didn't see, this isn't anything against you, but you did not play one play.
No.
In a game.
Mm-hmm.
So why, tell me why that Brandon Bishop still makes it 4 years in the Iowa program. What was it for you that kept you around? Because when I look back on the guys that we played with, mm-hmm. and I think about the guys in our class who were Dan Gaffey, and Jake Hewlett, and maybe one or two others, 4 or 5 years in the program, saw a couple plays that were at the end of some games where we're either getting blown out or we're blowing somebody else out. And what is it about sticking around? Because those are the guys that honestly earn the most respect from their teammates. Like the amount of respect I have for you for staying around in the program and grinding.
Also the people who make the best teammates because they're the most selfless.
So selfless.
Like they're just like Bishy did an incredible job his whole career of getting the people ready so that the Hawks could win a football game. Yeah. Like that's all you cared about, Bishy, was that the Hawks won a football game, just like all of us. But we all had different roles. But the thing that really makes everybody care about those teammates the most is that they're doing it in the most selfless manner that anybody on the team can possibly do it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think for me, like, cause my dad played at Iowa. So it was always my biggest dream to play at Iowa. Like that was my thing. I didn't really have a lot of support from people around here, like high school coaches and stuff. My high school coach was not a very good person. And, the day that I, you know, whatever signed or whatever you want to call it, he said, he like made up this story that he talked to the coaches at Iowa and I was going to try out for the Iowa Hawkeyes. So I always had this big chip on my shoulder that I needed to prove to someone that I was worthy. And I think once I got to Iowa, it was like, I don't need to prove shit to anyone because I made it here. It was my goal. And like I had the support of every coach in the building. I feel from Coach Ference all the way down to like Scott Southmade. I mean, anyone and everyone in the building supported me through everything. And I wanted to do my job, and that was to be a scout team player and bust my ass, you know, Monday through Friday and get to wear my jersey on Saturday on the sidelines. And I thought that was the coolest thing. I mean, I was the kid that, my first game was Ball State that I dressed for my freshman year, and I cried when I swarmed because it was the coolest fucking thing. And that's when I knew I achieved my dreams because I was an Iowa Hawkeye.
Well, Drake, I don't know about you, but I'm about ready to run through a fucking wall.
I'm actually a little teared up about that, man. Like I understand the exact same mindset that you come from, Bish. I'm sure a lot of walk-ons do, but
I was going to say the same thing.
I probably had a little more support than you did. but it didn't feel like much more. Mm-hmm. And it still felt like the world was against me. So like that was a very nostalgic story.
Yeah.
I personally, I felt the same way. I mean, when you talk about recruitment between the three of us, Drake had the most of it, and it was like you and I. Mm-hmm. And maybe
I was a D1 AA player, period.
Right. And you know, like long, like what is long snapping recruitment, especially back then, like, you know, yeah. a couple schools talked to like the guys that knew what I was capable of. And then they like offered me like Wyoming and Eastern Michigan. So it was like, there was no fanfare, you know, the three of us weren't on Twitter, like, yo, Alabama fans, give me some follows. Like, you know, like where's my LSU fans at? Like, an announcement day is in 2 weeks. I'm dropping where I'm committing to.
Yeah. I was like, I was being recruited by fucking like Drake and Quincy. If you've ever heard of that, it's a shit D2 school.
Dude, not a fun place to spend your time.
No, absolutely not. And I was actually committed to, on my visit when I was at Iowa, I was committed to Minnesota Duluth. I was a D2 football player. I was 5'6". I was probably fast for D2, but I was not fast for D1. And, you know, I mean, I was ready to be a big fish in a small pond, but I mean, Iowa came calling and I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to do it.
I feel that you said like, once you made it into the program, it felt like you had already won. Like that was it. Right.
And yeah,
I felt the same way as a snapper. Like, dude, I thought I was going to be a Josie Jewell up until ninth grade. Like I was going to be a Division I linebacker.
Yeah.
And that's just what it was. And then I realized like physically I stopped growing. Same. I feel you on the undersized part. You and me are in the same boat there. And I ended up switching to long snapper. And then all of a sudden, like same thing, Iowa was the dream. My dad played for Iowa for 2 years, was a, you know, like a four string center in the 80s, but he still wore the jersey. So that was like my thing.
Yeah.
And I realized that snapping was going to, I was somehow going to get my foot in the door. And the day that I stepped in the door, my first day at Iowa football, I felt like for the rest of the time there, I had nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was already satisfied in a way that didn't discourage me from working really hard to be better.
Yeah.
But like, if all of it was taken away, like I fucking did it. Like I walked in the door. How about the first time you saw in camp that first year, you saw your name on the back of the jersey, or like the first time you saw your name on the locker? How did that feel?
Yeah, that was fucking sweet. Like, cause my locker number cause my first year was, we were in the old facility.
Oh yeah, you were. Yeah.
And, I was locker number 105. I remember that. And I was
like, 69.
Fuck yeah. Nice. And I was like 105. Cause like, I mean, that was my goal, was to make the 105, because my first year I knew I wasn't going to be on the 105. I was going to be on the 120 man. So I wasn't going to go to camp my first year.
Yeah.
But I used that locker number as motivation. Like I was like, I'm 105 for a reason, because that's my goal. I want to be on the 105 and I want to make it into camp. So mm-hmm. I just remember seeing that and being like, I'm here. Like, and don't get it twisted, I wasn't like, all right, I'm at Iowa, now I can relax. Like I worked my ass off. I did, but I mean, I knew I was at Iowa and fuck, I was going to take
Listen, man, we all know about those disadvantages.
Yeah. I mean, I was there and I was like, I'm going to run with this, but.
I distinctly remember like the first day that we put our jerseys on for like that first camp, whatever. And I was like, I sent a Snapchat to my mom and my brothers.
Yeah.
And it was like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Like,
this just got real.
Yeah.
And yeah. Do you remember any like in the first couple years, any like welcome to college football moments?
Yeah. Quite a few. So we were doing a special teams drill this was like my first fucking week. So like I said, I wasn't in camp my first year. So, you know, I come into practice the first week or whatever, and they were doing a special teams drill. It's the, I can't remember what it was called, but it was like the, so you have the two gunners and then the one in the middle. And then obviously like the three. Yeah.
I think it's 3-on-3 compete.
Yeah. 3-on-3 compete. And for some reason I'm with John Loudermilk and he just fucking blasts me into the sideline. And I'm like, what the fuck? And Coach White and everyone's going crazy. They're like, fuck yeah, Johnny. Fuck yeah, baby. I'm just like sitting on my ass and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why did this just happen to me? Like, yeah. I was fucking embarrassed. And then I remember my second year, I'm coming across the middle on a drag route for scout team, and Coach Reed's like, run it, run that motherfucker back, run it again. And I know exactly.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Exactly what's going to happen. I know exactly what's going to happen. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want
to. I've been there so many times.
Stick your hand up and say, Coach, I don't want to run it again.
So I run the drag route again, and Josie Jewell out of nowhere. Like, I'm looking at the quarterback. So, like, I'm facing this way, and Josie Jewell just comes and fucks me up. I love football, I think.
Oh my God, dude, I'm crying.
Oh. So you mentioned scout team. And I looked on the website, and you at Iowa, we have this award called the Team Leader Award. Mm. And you won the award in for both special teams and in a separate year for defense.
Well, yeah, they put that in wrong. I won it special teams both years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they put that in wrong.
Okay. Regardless, you won it twice.
Yeah, got and those that, Crystal trophies.
Yeah, and those.
And nobody could be prouder than the two other dudes on this podcast who made their entire careers off special teams.
I put that shit on my resume. Like, that's how proud I am of that.
And for those listening, that basically means, like, you know, it's a guy from the I'm not exactly sure. You could probably find the exact description of the award, but it's basically a scout team guy like Brandon who doesn't see the game field, but all week is probably practicing harder and giving more effort on a consistent basis for the entirety of practice, day in and day out, for the entire goddamn season. And earns the respect of everybody and really leads the scout team in preparing the offense or defense respectively for the opponent on the weekend. And to win that award twice is pretty fucking special, especially because it usually goes to a young guy who's just out there just laying his body on the line, and you won it in years like 2 and 3. And so you're kind of like, I mean, that's, you just said you're pretty proud of it. Like, talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing for me was, like, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed first year, second year, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be an offensive player. I'm going to start on offense. And I think, like, the year 2015 was when I won it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I realized, I was like, I'm not a Division I receiver. I am going to make my nut on special teams. I think if I'm going to make it in this program, I got to do something on special teams. So I saw it every day as an opportunity to just kind of show, you know, Coach Ferentz and Coach White, and because he was the special teams coordinator at the time, and Coach Wallace, because he was the punt coach. I just saw it as an opportunity to show them that I can do something, mm-hmm. you know, that I'm not a waste of a roster spot. And I just loved it. Like when we did scout punt every day, like I got,
that was your game day.
Yeah. I got my rocks off to that shit because it was like, I get to have fun and I get to be a gunner and I get to fucking run down the field and show what I can do. I get to go against like Josh Jackson. And I was mm-hmm. like, I mean, because I just got to do fun shit. And like, mm-hmm. I got to chase down Desmond King. And I just thought that that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I mean, I was still like, even at the end of my career, I was still starstruck by the people that I got to be around. So like for me, if I got to go and chase down Desmond King, or if I got to go like run a route against, you know, like Amani Hooker or something, who also fucked me up and gave me a concussion in spring ball. like to me, that was just fucking awesome, because like growing up, like Iowa football players are my heroes, like Drew Tate, Ricky Stanzi, Sean Green, like those guys, DJ K, Marvin McNutt. Like, so I got to be around people that like were making their name in the Iowa football program, and I got to make my mark with them and like brush shoulders with them. So that was like the biggest thing to me, was I just wanted to, one, earn the respect of the coaches, and two, have fun, and three, just like fucking play with NFL guys, basically.
You succeeded in all three of those things, pal.
Yeah, I would say, I truly believe that if we found any guy from any roster the 4 years that you were on the team, I don't think there would be one bad thing to say about you, unless we went to Parker or Sam Brinks, and then they would intentionally talk shit about you.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to go back real quick before we move on to something else. You mentioned that you figured out that you weren't a Division I football a receiver.
Mm.
Was there like some tough days to that? Like I understand that you had, you know, the gusto of like every day you're coming, you're ready to bring it in practice. That's, you know, your role. But there had to be, maybe not, but like it feels like there was probably a few days in there where you were like, did you question things of like, do I really want to put in this effort all the time? Like I could be doing something else.
Yeah. I mean, I questioned it every day pretty much, because like, just a little background of me, I'm a very emotional person. Mm-hmm. So like, I remember on, so I think you guys probably did it. So like freshman year on Fridays, like freshmen after the lifts would do like extra
conditioning.
Yeah. Like GPP and stuff like that.
Yep.
And I remember we had to pull the sled with like the ropes.
Yeah.
And like at the time I was maybe 160 pounds and I was by far the smallest guy, and I had to do the same thing that everyone else was doing, which I think there was like two plates on the sled and I had to pull it, and guys are finishing it in like fucking 16 seconds. And I think Jay Shiel had the record. I think he finished it in like 15 seconds or something. And it took me 53 seconds. And I was so fucking embarrassed. And I went in my dorm room and I cried the rest of the day, like locked myself in my room, cried, because I was like, I'm not going to fucking make it here. Like I can't even pull a goddamn sled. And, so I had moments like that all the time, and like one-on-ones for me were very tough, because like it made me so anxious to like, that I couldn't function sometimes.
I was
like,
just going to say, did you get anxiety when that period would roll around?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like for me, especially like early on, like I was anxious for pretty much the first half of practice until we got to scout team stuff, because like I couldn't, for some reason, like in my own head, I couldn't like perform the way I did on scout team with like our stuff.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucked, because I think it, in a way, it held me back, obviously, but like, I just like one-on-ones, I would get anxious about them. Like every now and then I'd do good, but it was like when I got to that period in like one-on-one blocking and stuff, I was like, fuck, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Like, should I hide in the back and not get a rep? And then I was like, well, I can't do that because it's going to be on film. And BK says that like Coach Ferentz watches everything and he's going to see that I didn't get a rep. So like, I would be in my head like that a lot.
Yeah.
But I mean, it got better. I think as the years, like little backstory. So I don't know if you guys remember, but I dropped out of school second semester freshman year.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I wasn't with the team.
Maybe I do remember that. Maybe, yeah.
I wasn't with the team and I wasn't at school. And I ended up in the hospital, actually, for depression and anxiety. I think – and that's, like, kind of another reason why I loved Iowa football so much, is because I was going through that and Coach Ferentz called me. And I just remember I was crying on the phone and I'm like, cause I didn't go to the bowl game freshman year either. Mm-hmm. Because I was going through a lot of shit, like suicidal and that kind of stuff. And Coach Ferentz called me and I'm crying on the phone and he's like, hey Brandon, like things are going to be okay. Like Iowa football is always going to be there for you. Like when you're ready to come back, you can come back. Like don't worry about it. And we kept in touch for that whole semester that I was gone. And from there on, I knew like Iowa football is where I needed to be, because I had the support of him and Coach Doyle. And like Coach Doyle was like my like second dad, basically, when I was at school. Like he took care of me pretty much, because like if I was having bad days, he'd pull me aside and he'd be like, are you doing okay? Like, I noticed this, I noticed that. Like I cried to him multiple times. Like, I kept him and Coach Ferentz in the loop when I'd meet with like the team psychologists and stuff like that. Like I would not be where I'm at today without them and without Iowa football. Yeah,
I think that with all the shit that happened this summer, mm-hmm. which I'm sure that evoked some emotion in you, watching those guys who, for a lot of us, were those people, like we know that they're awesome, great people.
Mm-hmm.
Watching from basically the sideline of social media as they just get absolutely trashed.
Yeah.
That I think it's really good for people to hear. And a lot of fans of our podcast that kind of rock with us, they probably have the general disposition of us as well, that they think they're good people or, don't think that they're the devil like some probably do. I feel you so hard on that, because Coach Doyle, like, they do care more than like anyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, and how is Coach Ferentz that good of a guy, and how does he have that much time?
Yeah. Right? And I can remember, because I mean, throughout my career, like I battled with mental health issues. And I mean, there was times when like I took a week off from practice and stuff like that. And Coach Ferentz was very welcoming to it. And I remember one Friday when I was going through it in 2016 and, you know, we're doing scout team stuff, and he grabs me and goes, hey Brandon, come here for a minute. And he's like, are you doing all right? And I was like, not really. No. And he's like, you know, talk to me about it. Let's meet in my office after practice today. And, you know, I went up in there and I talked with him, and, you know, I told him, I was like, I think I need a week off. Like, and he was like, absolutely 100%. So, I mean, I did that a couple times in my career because like my mental health battles, I could not like withstand balancing school and football and my mental health and a social life. Like I had, there was multiple times where, you know, I was taking breaks from school and taking breaks from football, and that was 100% welcomed.
Yeah. I just don't think that that would be received like that by everybody in college football. And I just think it's so special of Coach Ferentz and the staff. So crazy. It's kind of wild timing that that the conversation came to this part, because we literally just, the episode we just did that came out Thursday.
Yeah.
Was Drake and I interviewed Drake, even though we're
100- boys. I was in my car having deja vu. I'm on the way to jiu-jitsu right now. I had to put myself on mute, bro. I have tears in my eyes. I was thinking like, please don't call on me. I can't talk right now. Like that was some good shit.
Yeah. So we just did an episode with Drake where we literally kind of hashed out like the mental health of playing and stuff, mm-hmm. which is pretty crazy. Did you deal with identity issue after playing? You know what I'm getting at there? Like football's done. You're not a football player anymore. It's something you've done since you're in second, third, fourth grade, whatever. Or because you weren't in the limelight of Iowa and you never really had like, you know, did you have identity issues or did you have like an outside self to like kind of fall back on?
I mean, yeah, I struggled a little bit because, like, I was like, okay, I'm done with football, but.
And maybe that's where the coaching came from.
Yeah, and I was like, what do I want to do? And I was like, well, I don't really want to grow up. So let's try this coaching thing. Cause maybe.
Dude, welcome to my world, man. I swear to God, you might just be a younger me, pal.
And I was like, well, fuck, like the coaches seem like they have a lot of fun and they care about people. So maybe I'll try that. And I did it. And I mean, it wasn't for me because again, it was just like, you're stuck in a world where
the schedule's crazy.
Yeah. Credit to college football coaches, man. I mean, whether they're good people or bad people, I mean, they're going through something and
there is no life.
Yeah. I mean, they're recruiting. If you're not recruiting, then you're game planning. If you're not game planning, then you're practicing. If you're not practicing, then you're fucking going to coaching clinics. If you're not going to coaching clinics, you're fucking doing other things. I mean, there's just so much shit that you got to do to be on top of things. And I mean, people trust you with their lives and their livelihood. And, you know, I kind of gave it up too, because I ended up at Eastern Illinois and I was a quality control and I was working for free. And I was like, you know, I couldn't sleep at night. And I was like, do I really want to be doing this? Like, am I giving this enough? Am I giving enough of myself? Am I being fair to the people that I'm around? And at the end of the day, I was like, I mean, I worked my ass off, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, I was like, I'm not living up to the standard that I would want to be. Like, I'm not living up to the standard of the coaches that I had at Iowa. So
yeah, I feel you.
I don't think I should do this anymore. And It was a Wednesday. I walked into my offensive coordinator's office at 5 a.m. and I, right, wrong, or indifferent, I was just like, I can't do this anymore. This isn't where I see my future. And he was like, what? Like, we got to get ready for spring ball. Like, it's next week and you gotta make the scout, or you gotta make all the Vizio stuff and you gotta get ready. And I was like, I can't do it. Like, I was like, I'm sorry. I know I'm fucking you guys, but I can't do it.
Yeah.
And you know, I just, that was the end of that.
You gotta do it for yourself though, dude. You can't, if there's one thing that, and I love the part where you said you didn't want to.
Bishy had that Andrew Luck retirement, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That bad timing retirement.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I'm out. But the thing, you can't just live your life for other people. Like you have to,
if you realize, especially, and this is going to circle back, but like the one thing that, one of the things that I took away from strength conditioning or whatever is like, if you want to do something, you just got to do it. Like you got to take action. There's no point in sitting around wasting time. So like, better to get out now and find something that makes you happy than stay in there. And like 7 years down the road, you're a coach and you hate your life and you have no personal life and all that. So, what are, after 4 years of football, some of the biggest takeaways from Iowa for you, as far as how it shaped you as a person, and maybe some of your favorite memories, in the black and gold?
I would say going into the program, I was pretty much a beta, and I feel like I left more of an alpha with, like, in a weird sense. And I know that other people didn't have this experience, and I'm not diminishing that, but like, I left that program more of myself than I ever was. Like, I mean, like, I mean, I'm not scared of who I am. Like, and I think I was before going into that program. Like, I was such a timid person, and like, I was to the point where like, I was scared to fucking shower like my freshman year, because like, I just was not like in tune with in tune with myself. And I think leaving that program now, I'm like, I don't give a fuck what people think about me. Like,
you're speaking to Drake there.
Yeah, I mean, like, don't get me
wrong. I mean, who does this guy sound like?
Sounds like you dude.
You care very deeply about the things that are important to you, the people, the things, like, you value, etc. Like, you very well laid out how important Iowa football was to you, your friends. But the outside world's opinions couldn't fucking matter less. And guess who shares your opinion on that one, bud?
Yeah. I mean, for example, like, I've really come into my own lately. Like, over the summer, I was like, I think I want to get my ear pierced. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to get my ear pierced. Who gives a shit?
He's becoming more like Drake Kulik by the second.
So I got my left ear pierced, and like, I don't have an earring in now, but like, I was rocking the shit out of that. And I was like, fuck yeah, baby. Like, I have an earring. And some people were like, dude, you're a douchebag. And I was like, I don't really give a fuck.
Like, welcome to the squad, baby.
I was like,
we're happy to have you.
I treat people with respect, and I think I'm a nice enough person. Like, I don't care. Like, whatever. And I mean, like, I've gotten a bunch of like tattoos and stuff. I got the Rose Bowl tattoo on my wrist because it's a reminder of, you know, going through struggles and, you know, getting to the end goal and that kind of stuff. And I mean, I think that I'm a positive person, and I think a lot of that was brought out to me because of Iowa football, because of the coaches that I had and the support that I had there. Like, I mean, Chick Ejiazi, Ben Hansen, Scott Southmade, like all those people, I mean, they made such an impact on my life that I'm forever grateful and forever indebted. And I mean, you just can't beat the experience at Iowa football, in my opinion, at least the experience that I had, I should say. It just means so much to me. And again, the lessons learned, work your ass off, do everything the right way. I mean, do what you're supposed to do. And at the end of the day, things are going to work out. I mean, you know, just because you work hard, obviously doesn't mean you're going to get what you think you want, but something good is going to happen. You know, I mean, I worked my ass off in Iowa football, and I didn't get the playing time that I wanted, but I got a pretty damn good life because of it, and a better work ethic and great friends and awesome memories.
Dude, that's pretty fucking awesome.
I'm pretty damn thankful that this podcast happened. I'll put that out there. That's what I'm thanking for today.
I am too. I didn't think this is where it was going to go. I'm going to end it on this. Drake, the three of us had a class together.
Yeah.
We were in biology together in 2014, I believe. And this is one of the most vivid memories
that I have from my
time. I think it was 2015.
2015. This is one of the most vivid memories that I'll have from my college days. Every day we would have biology at about, what was it? Like maybe 1:30 to like 2:20. And then we'd
go right to meetings.
We'd hop on our
moped. That class was long, dude. That was an hour and a half class.
Okay. Well, we went straight from class over to the complex every Tuesday, Thursday. And we would hop on our mopeds. And I think you had your car at the time, Drake. So it was me and Bish out of class that would hop on our mopeds. We'd go as race as fast as we can back to the complex to get ready for meetings and football and practice, whatever. And me and Bishop are driving back to the complex. We're going between the hospital and the rec, the old rec, that little like hallway where there's a skywalk over it, right over by the dorms.
I know this. I know where this is going.
I just don't understand it, Bish. I still don't to this day. Bish and I roll up to the corner of Kinnick right there in front of the children's hospital. And as we roll up, there is a guy that's crossing the street that gets run over by a car. He gets fucking run over by a car. Not like we rolled up on it. We rolled up on it and the car was still coming to a stop over the guy's body.
Yeah.
And Bish and I are sitting waiting to turn right to go north, to wrap around the north side of Kinnick. And we look at each other at the stoplight and we're just watching this pandemonium break out. This guy is run. People are screaming and there's the car is still on top of this guy's body. We can see his legs. And Brandon and I are like, what the fuck is happening? Like, what is going on? Like, do we get up and help? Like, there's already 20 people helping. Now at this point, there's like 15 or 20 people picking up this car and dragging this guy out from underneath it. And it's still to this day one of the and Bish and I just like the light turns green and we're both like laughing super awkwardly to like
what do we do?
And we just drive away. And I'm pretty sure the guy died. I looked it up in the hospital and the guy died, dude.
Bro, that's how are we gonna end the podcast on that story? That's unbelievable.
But just to clarify, it's not like we could have done anything like. There was literally like 15, 20 people, like construction workers. They're like banging on this guy's car.
Oh my God.
And they're like, hey, get off. Like, get off. You ran him off. And like,
dude, women are screaming. And Bishan, like, there's no way that we could have helped. There was already 20 people helping.
I just remember, like, I was kind of like sitting there, like, I don't think I'm going to press the gas. I'm going to press the gas.
And then we just drove away. And when we got to the complex, we were like, dude, did we just witness a guy get run over?
Yeah. And then, yeah,
and we did. And that's exactly what we witnessed. And I'm sorry that that has a negative little note to end this podcast. But when I think of you, Bish, that story comes to my head. And,
Well, the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast just turned into the Rest in Peace podcast. And for better or for worse, we have now all experienced that with you guys.
Anyway, so whatever that story did to you at home, what a fuck. I still to this day remember exactly. I mean, yeah. It was.
I mean, I can picture it exactly. Yeah. Like it's happening. I mean, it was a hot day. Yep.
Warm, sunny.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know. But for better or worse, like Drake said, I'm so happy that this happened, Bish, and that we got you on here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was fun and it's good to talk.
This was an absolute pleasure. I could not have enjoyed this more.
And thank you for opening up. Similar to Drake's podcast, the last one we just did, it's got a lot of good response. This wasn't our intention to like take this down the mental health road, but we talked a lot about it. And I think the more and more the people hear that, like Division I athletes go through that kind of shit is it's really important. And I respect the fuck out of you already, but you gain a whole lot more today from me because of you being honest on here and talking about shit. And I fucking love you, man.
I love you guys too, man. This was fun. And I mean, I loved Iowa football and I know not everyone has that experience, but I mean, without it, I'm not the man that I am today. And I mean, without my mental health struggles, I'm not the person that I am today. And I think that anyone going through it, I mean, just know that there is a better side of it. And, you know, just make sure you're taking care of yourself and always reach out to people. Somebody, there's people that you least expect are going to help you. I mean, that's what I've learned in my life. And I think that's something that's pretty big. But I do have one more story though.
Okay.
Shout it out.
But I don't know if this should air, but this is what
I can edit it.
But this is what I think of when I think of Drake. It's that same human bio class. and we're sitting in the
And now I know where this is going, and I am worried.
As do I.
And I'm sitting here and Hoover's just like fucking laughing, and I'm like, all right, I like funny shit. Let's hear some funny shit. And Kluver's like, no, dude, I can't tell you. And Drake's like, Kluver, shut the fuck up. Like, seriously, I'm gonna fucking kill you. And I'm just sitting there like, guys, seriously, I love funny shit. I wanna laugh too. Come on, bring it to daddy. And Kluver's like, see that girl right there? And and I'm like, yeah, like, what's funny about her? And I'm like, what did you just say?
Bro, Kluver, the only thing you got to do is put a bleep over that little.
I will.
And, like,
I forgot, like, she was in the class.
And I'm like, what? And Drake, furious at this point, I'm thinking he's gonna fucking kill somebody. Like, he's talking very loud and the lecture lady's talking about whatever the fuck she was talking about, and I'm like, oh god, something bad's gonna happen. He's like, I was drunk and I just ended up, I don't know, and I just ended up fuck you guys. And I think, if I remember correctly, I think Drake grabbed his bag and like threw his little thing at you and was like, fucking do the questions for me. I'm fucking leaving. Fuck you guys. And I was just like, so for the rest of the semester, every time I'd see Drake, I'd look and I'd be like, hey, she's down there.
I was like, I didn't really want it to be known. You know, I didn't want you to tell him, but then once you told him, like, it became one of the funniest things ever. Like, Bishy's reaction was one of the most hysterical things I've ever seen. Like, it's hard to make somebody laugh that hard.
Yeah.
And that story did it. So, like, I wasn't mad at that point, but I was a little bit embarrassed at that Kluver was about to tell that story, for sure.
And she always, for some reason, sat near us. And I just thought that was the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life.
I will find a way to make that story publishable on the podcast. Probably going to have to use some bleeping.
You're going to need to do some doctoring on that one.
A little doctoring, but yeah, that's it. The one and only Brandon Bishop, episode 187 of the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Brandon, thank you again.
Yeah.
Talk to you guys next week.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.